So now I'm going to speak a little about the protocol. One of the protocol, which is basically as old as the Apache Software Foundation, more or less. IGP, it used to be named GSF before, and then it was renamed AGP when it was really finalized. It's interesting to use when you want to forward the TLS SSL information. For example, if you want to receive your client certificate inside Tomcat and you have a proxy, AGP is interesting because it's going to assign this information automatically. You don't have to do some trick to get it. That's one of the cases to use it. It has a lot of limitation. It does not upgrade. The header size are limited to the size of the packet. You can increase the size of the packet if you want, but basically that increases the buffer, so maybe not something you want to do. And it has no encryption by default. You would have to tunnel it. You were explaining how to do that in your talk. And in case you don't use encryption, don't tunnel it, it has only a limited authentication. It's a kind of a secret you can use. You share a secret between HTTPD and the Tomcat, and that way the communication is going to be passphrased. And you use AGP in case you use mod proxy AGP and in the case you use mod GK.
Which one is considered better?
No. I have one slide on that.
Because I have clients that insist on using AGP. I told them that it will be end of life.
I have a bunch of slides on that topic. When to use HTTP 1.1 or HTTPS, basically, when you don't need to forward any SSL TSL information, if you need, you have a solution, you have the SSL valve, which is going to do that for you, and on the HTTPD side, you have to export the SSL variable. Exporting the SSL variable requires some resources in HTTPD side, because basically you're going to export everything. And then in Tomcat you receive everything, and then you're going to fill your request with this information. Why you need to use HTTPS? HTTPS between HTTPD and Tomcat, for example. You might have a requirement in your company that everything needs to be encrypted. So in this case, you will have to configure the proxy in order that it use HTTPS. In this case, you use HTTPS, then you might have also open SSL in Tomcat in order to speed up your Tomcat. HTTP, if you trust your intranet, are you really trusting your intranet? Another reason to use HTTPD, HTTP, or HTTPS is that basically in Tomcat we have been improving HTTP and HTTPS quite a lot, and we have not worked that much on AGP. So normally the HTTP 1.1 and HTTPS should be more stable than AGP, more tested and more improved. H2C, so it's to use to reverse proxy, because browser by specification can't do that. HTTPD is supporting it. That means basically you can have a Tomcat running S2C and then HTTPD, which will send messages to the Tomcat using the protocol.
So Tomcat supports H2C?
Yep. I have a small example. Why would they multiplex the H2 in the proxy, basically to keep your backend unchanged? Basically, if you have a Tomcat, you don't want to touch the configuration. That's the thing. And the another reason to do that would to keep the overhead of the demultiplexing in HTTPD, which means in the C code, which tend to be a bit more performant than the Java. So let's look a little. In the case of MojiK, you're going to load the module, you're going to mount an URL to a worker, and you have to fill the workers.property file. And basically, in the property, you define a worker, worker one in this case, and then you take that worker one is a load balancer, and then you define the different nodes you're going to have in that are running your Tomcat. So basically, this configuration is going to load balance between two Tomcat, one named cluster dev 3 and the other named cluster dev 4. Let's look now to the proxy AGP configuration. You will have HTTPD is a multi-process, multi-threaded thing, so you have to load a module to support the shared memory, because as you have a multi-process, you will need a logic with semaphore locks and other things, so that it's able to get the information and have information from one node to the other. You have to load the mod proxy, which is basically the big piece that do all the proxy logic. You load the mod proxy AGP, which will just do the AGP protocol. You need the load balancer module, load balance method, in case you want. In this case, we have used the by request one. And as we want to make load balancing, we need to load mod proxy balancer. The configuration will be something like that. So basically, you give a proxy pass. You're going to use this URL, and you tell it that you send it to this balancer, and you define the balancer by proxy balancer, the name of the balancer, and then you define the different member, which are two Tomcat running one on two different boxes in this example. So with this, you have a load balancer. If one Tomcat is going to fail, that basically is going to mark in the shared memory. HTTP is going to mark in shared memory that this balancer does not work, and you can have some additional parameter asking it to retry and define the way you retry. So basically, if one Tomcat fail and then you start it again, then it's going to reuse it. So now I have one bit too much here. So it's the same thing. We load the shared memory module. We load mod proxy. We load the protocol. In this case, we load HTTP. We have a load balancer. We load the proxy balancer, and we define that we are going to pass this URL. To the balancer. Here is the name of the balancer. You find the name of the balancer here, and you define two member, and the two member here are using HTTP and connecting to the normal port of the Tomcat. In same like the previous example, you have the two Tomcat running. You have two Tomcat running on two different boxes.
Sticky sessions isn't enabled in this configuration.
It's not enabled in this configuration. The idea is that you will balance, or you will have to have a cluster on the Tomcat.
Yep.
So this is what you were asking. Basically, it's not a recent test, telling the truth. I have not retested it. I don't expect big changes anyway. So this is a stupid test. We're basically trying to see how much we can get out of the things, sending some files. If you have a real application, it's a bit different. So like benchmarking are very good in this case. You can really tell, the benchmark really tells what I want to see, so it's not too bad. But I've not manipulated too much.
You can't talk about mod cluster anymore, mod proxy cluster.
I would need another talk for that.
Yeah.
So this is just about the file size, right? It's not number of requests per second or anything like that.
Throughput, bytes per second.
Yeah, you have the throughput, and then it had it's trying to push as much as it can. So you have the kilobyte to go per second and the size of the file. So basically, you try to fill up the line and fill up the resources. You have different way of filling up things on the when you make a load test. And then, yeah, in this case, I try to get as much as I can, and then what I change is the size of the file. That might not be the best, but that one was looking for something to prove what I wanted to say, so that works.
So they're all the same?
Yeah, they look very similar, and if you look to the load, well, basically what you want to achieve is like you don't have a bug in the proxy, so you want to see that the load is around 100% all the time. Here I'm a bit down, and I think I would have to redo the measurement. So my guess is basically it's the same. So if I go to the conclusion, there's no big difference, so you can use a mod proxy AGP or MoGK at the level of HTTPD. It's the same, and the level of resources you need. You have to remember AGP is somehow a bit more easy to configure if you want some information from the point that you are entering. It is not encrypted, and it has no upgrade for the protocol. Let's look to another thing. Let's do H2 in clear text. So basically, so this is an example, as you can see, because I've had the H2C here. So basically, if you want to do H2, you're going to load the mod proxy. I don't need this one, in fact, but you're going to look to load the mod HTTP2. So basically, you can. So this will decode the frame that HTTP is receiving, and this will re-encode the frame using the H2 protocol. And basically, you make a proxy pass, and you say H2, and then you tell you give the URL of, and this is a running Tomcat. And I think I have the configuration of the Tomcat on the next slide. Yes. So this is how you define a clear text, H2 clear text configuration on Tomcat. You just define your Tomcat, and you put the upgrade protocol. Very easy.
Does it help with troubleshooting that it's not encrypted?
Yeah, definitely. The thing is, like, if you, it's a bit difficult because it's H2, so I'm not sure that Wireshark have already, I guess they must have a H2C analyzer, because that's the thing, is like you don't want to analyze the protocol on your own, you want to have a tool that does it for you.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it has it, so I need to check. It's a good question. I'll check for next time I do this presentation. And so, next big question to try to get some discussion. Usually it's okay when you have some people using Nginx and some HTTP committer in the room. So was just to try to wake people up.
I'm just a user of Nginx.
So is Nginx beta. This is a Nginx configuration, a basic one. Basically, I have one worker. I have defined the number of connections I can have. I've defined my two Tomcat. I'm using some SSL stuff. I'm not a big expert in it. I'm sending everything to my app, which is defined over here, which is a load balancer. So configuration at the end, it's once you know what you're manipulating, you fight a little because the syntax is different, but it's very similar at the end. It's the same concept. So I was doing some load tests. You have HTTPD, it's the same test than before, it's just increase the size of the file and then try to get as much as we can. And what we see is like HTTPD seems to perform a lot better. And if we go to the second slide, we can see, so this is the CPU usage, and at some point something changed in here in my test. And yeah, probably the curve is something like that, but I need more point and more in the test. So what I can see is like here, there's something wrong in my configuration in Nginx. And because what you want is like when you reach the maximum, you should use 100% of the CPU. You should not stay flat. And I've looked a little in the code, and in fact, it's the test that messed up with Nginx. Nginx is expecting that he's receiving requests from a large number of IP, and it used that to kind of distribute on the different thread it had. And then here I'm using a single one. So basically, it's very difficult to bench it. You need something that have a multiple IP address to bench those things. So you need a quite complex tool to really compare the two things.
But in the real world, you don't have all the traffic coming from one IP.
Yes.
So
that's why I'm saying this is not perfect. And I guess in the real world, it's a lot better.
You should use the Cotis machine and Ezekiel.
You know which one? Everybody at the same time.
Yes.
In your machine.
So this is. So these are some other values, but they're the same. So as I was saying, I was not able to really to conclude. The thing in HTTPD, you have to be careful not to have too many processes and too many threads, because basically, one thing also on the machine, you must remember, the processor is going to be more efficient if the thread are 100% busy. The process, at the hardware level, it's better to have the things running in a loop or nearly in a loop than to switch from one process to the other, because basically when you switch from one process to the other, the processor is going to be busy copying memory from one location to another, and probably also memory from the cache to the memory and reverse. So you want to avoid having too many
context switch.
So you want to avoid to have too many threads, and you want to avoid to have too many processes. So you have to be very careful in HTTPD. You very quickly, if you misconfigure it, you may have your server spending only time switching from one thread to the other. So you need to try to limit the things. And with bot proxies, it starts to be a bit difficult, because basically you block the thread when you want to receive something. And the other thing is to note is like Nginx is also using mod SSL, so for the crypto thing we have exactly the same results normally. So some other proxies. Of course, at the end, test proxy everywhere. You have HA proxy, for example, in the cloud, OpenShift, for example, this HTTP proxy. I mentioned Mode Cluster because it's the stuff Gboss did and then Red Hat follow. It's an open source project, so if you want to join and help, you're welcome. The Undertow proxy, basically, it's based on the Gboss and the Wildfly container. It's just an extension of the servlet that can do proxying. You have Ingress. Well, it's in fact it's named Ingress in Kubernetes. In fact, it's either Nginx or either the Google
Cloud Engine.
I just know it is there. I don't know the detail of these things, but what I can tell, it's working.
I think OpenShift or Ingress just start teaching AGI proxy.
Yes, yeah. They start moving, yes, because well, there you have a lot of solutions, that's what happens. But Ingress is a kind of like a box on top of a box. That's, yeah. That's a problem of in the cloud. You have a box and you put another box and another box, and at some point you don't know exactly what it's doing for you. And I mentioned Traffic Server. Traffic Server is quite used by a lot of big companies that do proxying and caching. 10 minutes. I think I'm nearly done, so you're going to be happy in your...
So basically, the most scalable would be Traffic Server then out of these?
Probably, but it's a bit tricky to configure, and there's not a lot of people using it. The configuration are not so straightforward. Every time I have to configure something to redo my demo, I'm always struggling a bit. But definitively, it's probably the most advanced for to do H2. They're going to be ready nearly sure in December. HTTPD is not going to be ready in December, except someone decide to work on it, except I get free time for some reason. and it's a lot. There's still a lot of work. But there's also a lot of work in Traffic Server. And some other protocol. In fact, if you use Mode Proxy, you can use Mode Proxy WebSocket tunnel. In fact, I don't like really the WebSocket because it's just a kind of like just tunneling the stuff. It can tunnel nearly any protocol. The thing is, like, of course, tunneling any protocol without looking what is in the protocol might not be the best optimization you have, because basically you're going to read the piece of data and send it. You define a buffer and you wait a little and then you send, so you might cut packet in small pieces that you should not cut, because if you don't know the protocol you are not able to optimize it. But that's allowed to do a lot of things. For example, we have customers that use Gboss remoting with HTTPD using this or WebSocket directly. So I have this example. It's a real example. A customer using it. You define the. You load the Mode Proxy WebSocket tunnel, or I prefer to say the Mode Proxy tunnel stuff, and you tell it that you're going to connect to using the WebSocket protocol. And that it's going to do an upgrade using Gboss remoting. And then, in fact, it's going to be transparent. So basically, it's going to check that the upgrade is what you do for some security reason. And then it's going to be sending the data transparently. But as I was saying, like, as he has no idea of the size of the buffer on the both sides, you might be cutting things in small pieces and using resources not in the best way. But that's working, and then depending on what you want, if you want to secure your web application, and then the web application is speaking Gboss remoting on the other side, that's interesting. In fact, the customer case is like use HTTPD as a load balancer, which is also a good thing, because you can load with the Mode Proxy with the tunnel stuff. You can really do any protocol that is doing an upgrade. Is we read the upgrade, check that it's the right value, and then just be transparent. guess I'm. So proxy or not proxy, if you want to want a failover, definitely you need one. If you want to do a new protocol and have an old Tomcat, of course you need one. If you have, want to have a pure Java and test CLS, that was the case some years ago. Now you can do H2 directly, so PCS is a bit less. But otherwise, if you want to use your Tomcat directly connected, feel free. It's working quite well. And when there's a security issue, we're quite fast in the community to react and fix what's wrong. Which proxy to use? Well, I would say HTTPD because I'm in the AFSF and it's the Apache con, but it's very hard to say which one is the best. But I would not say that Nginx is a lot better. At the end, those things are more or less probably the same performances.
Is there a reason you used only one worker in the Nginx config?
I tried with two, but it was only using one, because as I was telling, it was based on the IP you received. So I need to write a more sophisticated load test to do this thing. But that means more sophisticated, you need to generate the IP. So it's a benchmarking stuff and giving results that make sense is
and what idea. About requests per second? Did you benchmark?
I don't have those value here. Well, if you are motivated, the scripts are available.
I'm motivated. Okay, that would be good because I am motivated, but I'm not sure exactly how to do it right. You know, I don't want to do a benchmark that everybody will tell me, well, it's.
Yes, that's a big issue. Usually people do benchmark to prove something.
Exactly.
So
there's an old saying, you know, you can prove any lie with statistics. Basically.
Exactly, that's more or less, and the benchmark is more or less that. So
right.
That's the issue. So as I was telling you, basically all my scripts are under this URL. It has been updated, even if it's the first time I was giving a talk on this was some years ago, as you can see. But I've been updating I should have removed the date in the URL because every time I'm giving the presentation, I'm upgrading the scripts and in some cases redoing the test. Room for questions? I think I'm quite early.
Can
you
use like
stateful
application?
You can use a stateful application. You, in this case, use a session ID, which.
Oh.
No.
If it supports like
CP
session?
Yes, we support CP session in all the cases. I didn't mention it, but. The idea of the proxy is like basically you're going to be sticky because otherwise you need the cluster.
That's actually one thing that Nginx doesn't support in the community edition, only in the supported in Nginx Plus they have sticky session. You can have a hash of the IP,
yes,
which works okay, but it's not the same. It's not as good.
Okay, I was not aware of that. I didn't. I know there was some restriction because they want to make money. It's not really open source, as you can
exactly.
see. A real open source, you put your source and then you package it for the customer.
So they have Nginx Plus, which is a commercial product, and that one has many features. The advanced features are there. Sticky session is one of those.
Okay. Thanks for the information. I can add it on the slide if I give the talk another time.
If I change my worker.worker1.type from AJP13 to H2 and then try to start HTTPD, the startup fails and the error message in the log is that H2 is not recognized. Which module are you using?
Yes, that's...
Whatever I had for AJP.
If you're using modjk, it only understands one protocol.
Yes.
You must switch to modproxy if
yes.
you want to use H2.
Yes.
Okay, that's easy.
Yep.
Thank you. Find more work.
Yes. I have a. I can do a small demo if I have some extra time. It's doesn't.
Still 10 minutes.
So I still have 10 minutes. So I have a. I can show two different things. First, I can show. Oops. I can show the what I'm going to do in my demo. So basically, I have configured H2. This is a piece of HTTPD configuration. I've configured a virtual host that is going to try to do H2. I define the engine with my key, and I have different proxy pass commands. One that is doing H2 in clear text, one which is doing HTTP 1.1, one that is doing HTTP, and another one that is also doing HTTP. I guess this one was some try that I forgot to remove. So if I go to...
it's a random number.
So I have basically prepared... This is for another talk. So you click here. It is going to start a small application, and it gives the information on the port where it has been running and the protocol it has been using. I have a typo here. So as you can see, when you use when you proxy using H2 or HTTP, you're going to have some information, which is information that is of the port of the Tomcat and not information of the original request you have received on HTTPD. So here you have the same thing. You can see here, you have the information. If you read the port, you will have the port of the connector which is running HTTP 1.1, and the request is a H2 request. You can see here the H2 indicator. I guess I can't read what it says, but I guess it says something like that. So, and if you are using HTTP, HTTP is going to forward this information correctly, as you can see. That's not where my HTTP port is running. But that's really where my HTTPD is running, and that's really the protocol HTTPD is doing. So in some cases it could be interesting to have HTTP still, but otherwise it's not a big problem. You can create a valve. Well, you have the SSL valve, you can extend it to forward this information in case you need this information in your application.
So this is without a valve? All of this?
All of those are without a valve. That's the default thing. If you put a valve, you have a lot more information.
Does the valve support exported proto? I'm sorry. Port? Do you know? Exported port.
If not, you just add it. It's.
Yeah.
You can do it.
I think that's the biggest benefit of AJP personally, is that you get all the information about the client.
Yes, you don't need you don't need to export this information in HTTPD. And export it using headers, and you need a valve then to convert these headers to the request in Tomcat. So if you use HTTP, this is done to you directly. That's one reason to use HTTP.
Yeah, if you want to use HTTP, you pretty much need to enable the SSL valve, and I think it's called the remote IP valve.
Remote IP.
Yep.
It's the one that pulls everything
in. Yeah,
it's
the filter. It's the same, but there's a filter.
Sure.
Yep. But you need to, So
yeah, but that's, I don't remember, I never used X forwarded port. I used the proto, which tells you if it's HTTP or HTTPS, and the IP. And I've only recently saw in some configurations X forwarded the port.
Yes, you can do that.
And I'm not sure if it's supported in the filter. I'll look.
Now we need to add the other protocol. So it's not HTTP and HTTPS. Is it HTTP 1.1 or HTTP 2 or HTTP 3 or whatever?
Yeah, because you are interested in getting what the client is using. And you may react a different way depending on of what he's using.
This, the Lightning that you over it's an extension or it's that's the default it's Firefox.
No, you, it's a small extension. You need
extension.
To
extension. Okay. I usually go into the developer tools. It shows that it's HTTP/2.
Also, that's but
in
that's
Firefox, not in Chrome. In Chrome, it doesn't show. In Firefox, it does.
In Chrome, it shows something. I'm sure.
But this is a. This is nice. The extension.
Yeah, this is nice for a demo. Definitively, that way you can tell what it's using very easily. Sure.
You said that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to use H2 as your internal protocol if you're using HTTP1 outside.
Yes.
If you reverse that, so H2 is terminating at your proxy.
Yes.
And you have HTTP1.1 inside. Can you ever do server push? I don't think so.
No, you can't.
Because that requires H2. If
well,
you're using...
You could do something because mod H2 will allow to do something, but you won't do it on the Tomcat side. You can push.
You have to do it at the.
Yeah, you have to do it on the HTTP side, and okay. You can define some command in order to push the image or JavaScript or things like that.
Okay, if you're using H2 on both sides of the proxy, can you push from Tomcat, or is that still not actually possible? You need direct client to Tomcat connection.
That's a good question.
Normally, if it's really a proxy, it will it send
should
the
work,
push frames and stuff. But
that's what I expect.
I would say if it doesn't work, there must be a bug somewhere.
Does the HTTP2 push, does it check with headers, like if modified scenes or things like that, or it pushes no matter what, if the client does or not, you know?
It's up to the servlet to decide.
Yes.
When to push.
The servlet?
Yeah.
No, I understand. But let's say the servlet you send, because you don't know if the client has it or not. Can the client decline to accept it because it already has it?
I guess it can ignore the bytes, but you're still pushing it down the network.
Yeah, if you're still pushing, it doesn't...
You can
tell.
You can break the push. Yeah, that's
yeah.
The client can?
Yeah, you can stop it. I don't know
the mechanism. It's pretty complex. You can read the spec. If you spec, it's very
that's
easy.
That's why I feel...
It's only a few hundred pages.
That's why I have you.
Light reading.
No, Mark does it, so...
Yeah.
I don't read the whole thing.
I remember trying to understand how it works. Yes, it does. You can break it. The browser can break it.
Okay.
Any more questions? Sure.
Do you think one day we will have a complete encrypted flow between the client and the Tomcat with H2 or H3?
You can.
H2
is said that you must use H2C.
No, you can.
You can, but you're not.
You can, but you're not forced to use. You can do H2, but definitely you have to terminate. You're going to terminate one TLS connection and create a new one.
Yes, okay. Maybe a man-in-the-middle problem. Same certificate.
No, you would have to have your own certificate in HTTPD. There's some proxy H2 command to define your certificate so that you can communicate correctly. So, but you can check. You can even send a client certificate to the Tomcat to make sure that you're connected correctly.
So the interest of having a H2C inside is only for packet inspection or something like that.
It's very interesting if you want to debug something.
Of course.
And if you don't have the resources to do the TLS SSL on the Tomcat side. That's the only thing. But more and more, it's better to encrypt everything. So basically, you decrypt, you terminate it once, and it stays in the process, and you make another TLS connection to the Tomcat. And you need a valve, of course, to transfer the information. Basically, the SSL information from HTTPD is going to be added to some header, and then you need a valve to read those headers.
And you can still debug that traffic, you just have to import your certificates in the wire function.
It's not that simple.
It's not that simple.
I've done it one time, like, years ago.
It works with RSA certificates, and only if you use a Cypher suite that doesn't have forward security. So you need to do some nasty things if you want to inspect your encryption traffic.
And if you use TLS 1.3, the things are encrypted very quickly and don't do anything.
And they only support forward security Cypher suites.
Yeah. And I have a talk at the same time tomorrow on some related topic. I'm done? Any more questions? Okay, so thank you very much.